It's the Earth Day celebration at the DGDG Mazda stores. Capital Mazda, Stevens Creek Mazda, Concord Mazda, and Team Mazda. Hey, it's Sean Del Gran. And this April, we've got outstanding offers on brand new Mazdas. Plus, we've partnered with One Tree Planted to help reforest areas of Northern California. We pledge to plant one tree for every vehicle we sell. Don't miss the Earth Day celebration at the DGDG Mazda stores in San Jose, Concord, and Vallejo.
You're listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light.
Scores! Logan Couture wins it in overtime.
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
Back inside the Sharks zone, Bruins throwing it around the power play. It's Bergeron surgically on the ice, throws it back to McAvoy. Down low to Marchand, back to McAvoy, stops the puck, tees up, shoots, it's blocked in front. That's a good job there by Nick Cicek to get a stick on that with Harrington. Cicek and Harrington killing the penalty here with a score 3-0 in favor of Boston.
Get some guys some experience. I love it.
McAvoy skates in deep, throws it across the ring. Quick shot, Pasternak scores. Quick as that. A quick pass across the rink, and Pasternak is going to bury that 99 times out of 100. And he does right there to make it a 4-0 Bruin lead. That is a power play goal for Pasternak.
It's a really good hockey team. No mystery why they have the record they have. Obviously, I don't think we're on our game in a lot of areas. Hung around a little bit, but, you know, just two goals to get beat one-on-one. And didn't get much going tonight. I thought they were pretty thorough.
Last night is what happens when an exceptionally good team goes up against a team that is simply not exceptionally good. Average, below average, whatever you want to call the Sharks, they are not a match for the Boston Bruins. But the ultimate takeaway should be is that is the type of team that Mike Greer and David Quinn are trying to build. That is the mold. That is the model. And you saw up close and personal why you want to be that type of team, why you want to build yourself in their image. They have depth. All four lines have guys who are going to make something happen. They have speed. They have power. They are good on the breakout. They've got good net minding. They defend well. They are good on the power play. They are good everywhere out there on the ice. And they will make you pay for every single mistake that you make. And even if you don't make a mistake, they can make you pay for it as well. And I think they are physical when they need to be. I know that they did it in the game against Carlson when they were in San Jose on the 7th. And they did it last night. They were physical with him. They make life uncomfortable for everyone that goes against them. And it's no surprise to see them with the record that they have. They are the best team in the league right now by 12 points, 37-5-4. They are 22-1-3 at home, and they are 15-4-1 on the road. They are 9-1 in their last 10, and they are 5 straight on their latest streak. I mean, they are a buzzsaw, and, you know, I did not feel like they were totally outclassed on the ice. I just felt like the Sharks were continually at a position where they were not going to have a good result when all was said and done because, you know, they hung around. It was 1-0 for a while, and eventually Boston was just that much better than the Sharks, but it wasn't like it was some, you know, blowout like it was against Edmonton or against Nashville last year. The Sharks made Boston work for their goals, but the thing is, Boston's one of those teams where you make them work harder and it seems like they get better. Like the higher the level of difficulty or the challenge, the better they become as a team. And that's what great teams in the NHL do. When the going gets tough, the tough get going. And I hate to be cliche, but that is what we saw last night. Like they just kept getting better and better and better throughout the game. I give a lot of credit to the Sharks for making Boston work for it. And Boston, whether it was Hampus Lindholm or McAvoy, like just some beautiful goals, and they just absolutely showed why they are that much better than the Sharks. And again, if you are looking at the Sharks long term, if you are looking at what they are trying to do, it is build a team that is in that mold. And I know you're thinking, well, Ted, why aren't they trying to build what they had previously with the San Jose Sharks? And it's like, listen, you can only hope so many times to have a Patrick Marleau or a Joe Thornton or a Brent Burns or a Joe Pavelski. Like those are unique talents. And if you get them, great. But I think that the Sharks are right now trying to build an identity And the identity is that they want to be that type of complete team, that they want to be hard and physical and move the puck quickly and just do all the little things right. And I've talked about it a lot this year. When the Sharks do the little things right, they end up with winning performances. As much as we focus on all the big time mistakes that the Sharks make as a team, when they do the little things well, that's when they end up having success. And I think that Boston is one of those teams that does the little things well. They don't make the big mistakes. Right now, they are, like I said, a buzzsaw. They're going to make you pay for everything. The Sharks got in the way of that buzzsaw, and we saw it was an unbalanced result when all was said and done. Again, the Sharks were not blown out last night. I didn't feel like it was some crazy demoralizing loss. I just felt like at every corner and every turn and every moment, the Bruins were there to show everyone why they have the record that they do and why they are substantially better than what the San Jose Sharks are right now. And again, you look at them as a model of inspiration and not a reason to be depressed. If you look at what the Sharks are trying to do long term, it's be just like what they ran into last night. And maybe trying to say it's just like it. I'm sure that, you know, Quinn has his own wrinkles on what he wants to do with his team, but he wants to borrow heavily from what Boston does. I think they want to be that style of team, a little bit fast and physical and, you know, just all the things they do so well, because they're good on the breakout. They're good on defense. They're good on power play. They move the puck quickly. They just do everything. And you have to have a complete team in the NHL. And even though the Sharks do not have that complete team right now, and they do have some elite talents, it's obviously not leading up to wins when all is said and done. So the Sharks last night, they had to take some penalties. They had to go on the penalty kill. They had to, you know, try and fight back against the Bruins. We saw Timo Meier getting in fights and scrapping with guys. I like that. I love to see physicality from Timo, and even said, yeah, you know, I'm not a little guy. I can handle myself. And I thought he put up a good little scrum there. It was a good job, and he had a nice takedown. But, you know, the Sharks, where they are right now is they've got fight. They've got effort, they've got desire, they've got drive, they've got a little bit of moxie, but it's just not enough. And when you get to a point where desire and effort are not enough, that's how you know that something needs to change. I mean, I look at what the Sharks have gone through this year. They've put up some good performances. The abysmal performances have been few and far between, but they're at a point, and in terms of where they are in the season, that is, and where they are in the long-term big picture, where it's like, okay, it's not adding up to wins. So something's got to change, and it'll be tough when it happens. You know, I think that one of the nice things that happened about Brent Burns is that was during the offseason, so it was like, okay, there's nothing happening right now. It was painful when Burns left. Granted, you know, I was not, you know, excited to see him go, other than the sense of, hey, I'm glad to see Brent Burns, who has meant so much to the Sharks franchise, get an opportunity somewhere else to win a cup, because it's not happening right now with the San Jose Sharks. But it was like you have a player that was moving on when there weren't games, when there weren't other storylines. It was just like, oh, okay, it's the offseason. This is a move. Now, if one of these Sharks players gets moved here as we approach the deadline on March 3rd, I believe, it's going to be a little bit more jarring. It's going to be a little bit more painful. It's going to be a little bit more of like, uh-oh, what do we do without that guy? Because I don't think that the Sharks are at a point, I'll put it this way, where everybody who's gone is a little bit of a problem, right? Like if you lose anyone, it's certainly not going to help you win any more games. And where the Sharks are right now, yeah, there's just a lot of losing. There is a lot of pain. There is a lot of frustration. And these are all valid emotions to have. I'm not telling you you're wrong. But at some point, you have to come to the realization that the emotions you're experiencing don't feel like they're going to change anytime soon. And if you're going to lose, if you are going to go through extended stretches of, you know, not being able to win much, you might as well do it in a capacity that helps your team in the long term. And I think that's what the Sharks are trying to do right now. It's like, okay, if we're going to lose games, if we're going to not be, ultimately competitive against the upper echelon teams in the NHL, doesn't matter if we do that with player XYZ or without player XYZ. And that's why these moves are on the horizon. But, you know, I do give the Sharks, you know, a lot of credit because they did not get blown off the ice to start that game against a really good opponent. They played and skated hard and made the Bruins work for their win. And I'm not trying to just be, an apologist or try and make excuses for where the San Jose Sharks are right now. But, you know, the first period was not terrible. They were, you know, hanging with the Bruins throughout that period, just down by a goal. And then it took a while into the second period for them to, you know, add on to it. And it's just how it goes, right? Like you go up against a good team in their own house where they hardly ever lose. You made them work for it. And I think at the end of the day, I don't know if you can say the Sharks should be proud of their efforts, but I think it's indicative of the fight that is there. It's indicative of the fact that the Sharks are not giving up on themselves. I don't see a lot of shoulders slumped. I don't see a lot of guys getting down on themselves. And ultimately, that's what you have to hope you see from this team. You don't want them to get too down on themselves. You don't want them to get mentally defeated. But it does get hard when you get deeper and deeper into a year and you do not have the results that you expect to see and you do not have the, you know, the good moments. You know, the come-from-behind win against Dallas was one of the few moments we've had as of late. But that was always almost a month after the last feel-good moment at home that they had the win before they went into the Christmas break. It's like, you need rewards for these guys. You need the team to feel better. You need everyone to just feel a little bit better about themselves and put themselves in a better position overall and going forward. But when I say going forward, I mean going forward. I mean a future that we are not yet experiencing. I mean that that is a ways off. And right now, it's tough because as a fan, you are looking at other teams have success, like the 49ers. Congratulations to them, by the way. But, you know, you see other teams having these successes and you want your team to be at the center. Like, listen, I can remember, you know, when I was covering the Giants back, you know, in 09 and 010 and the Sharks were in the playoffs and the Giants would have the games on in the clubhouse and they would be all into it. And I remember one time we were doing the post game show and the Sharks had a playoff win and we heard a big roar come out and, you know, Dave Fleming and I looked at each other and we kind of had a laugh because we knew they were looking at the Sharks because we had it on in the booth up there as well. Like, those are the things that like, you want your team to be the center of the conversation. You want everybody to be talking about your team and you just have to go through what you're going through right now. I mean, even during the broadcast last night, you heard Randy talking about the cap hell that the Bruins could be experiencing at some point soon. And they're all in on what they're going for right now. But that's what it takes. Like, everyone has this thought right now that the Sharks are experiencing some random or, you know, inexplicable cap situation. It's like, no, they were good for 15 years. They were great for 15 years. They were going deep runs year after year after year. The Giants dealt with this after they had their run. The 49ers will be dealing with this at some point. The Warriors are in the midst of trying to deal with it. The cost of success is high. We all know this, and you're going to get yourself in a salary cap situation, but it's why when I was talking to Aaron Portsline the other day of The Athletic, if you are a team that can put yourself in cap hell and it comes with the price of winning a Stanley Cup, then you go ahead and do that. If you feel it'll put you over the top, which is what makes Erik Karlsson tradable in my opinion, you go and do that because you want to give yourself that opportunity to win that Stanley Cup, to give yourself that opportunity. You take the risk. You put yourself in harm's way so that you can be the center of attention, the team that everybody is talking about. No, when you go through that cap hell, it doesn't make it any more fun, but it's the price of doing business. And right now, the Sharks are paying their bill because they were good for so long and they've got themselves in this cap area and they've got to wait to get out of it. It's going to require trades. It's going to require moves. It's going to require creativity, of which we are in the midst right now. And it's what Boston is going through, you know, in the near future. And that's just how it goes. But we do hear more out there on the desires of teams to acquire a Timo Meier or an Erik Karlsson. You know, I just don't mean to belabor the point, but it's like you got to prepare yourself for it because it is something that is on the horizon. It is something that people are going to be talking about it. Sheng Peng of San Jose Hockey Now said that Claude Lemieux has not yet closed the door on Timo Meier coming back to the Sharks. He told Sheng Peng of San Jose Hockey Now that both options are still very real, getting traded or signing, but they have yet to discuss anything. Now, what that anything exactly is, your guess is as good as mine because that's the rather nebulous point of that. It's like, you don't know what exactly that means, but it does mean that his agent and his people are aware of what is going on, and Timo is aware of what's going on, and actually, you got to give a lot of credit to Timo Meier in the midst of all this uncertainty. He's been playing very, very good hockey, and he's also out there fighting.
AC Mott flips to the left. Here's Hurdle across the line, moving into the Bruins zone. He's being defended really well by Carlo. Carlo influenced him all the way to the corner, right to the end board, and hammered him, and now Meier is dropping the gloves, it looks like, with Brandon Carlo as we get a stoppage of play. Timo Meier unleashing a torrent of right hands as Brandon Carlo taking it right to the face from the Sharks' leading goal scorer, and then Meier wrestles down Carlo.
Yeah, that was an unexpected and fun moment last night to start off the game. And it's like, good. You want to see Timo Meier fighting it because if if Timo Meier's fighting there, that means that he's still got the fight for his team. It still means he's got the fight for everybody out there, and that the talk out there around him and circulating and rumors and where he's going to end up, that means that it's not distracting him from his ultimate goal. He wants to go out there and fire up his team and fight for himself and fight for his guys. And I like seeing that. Like, you know that that's not exactly his role, but he handled himself. He threw some punches. He took the guy down, and, you know, it was a fun moment. And granted, it's not enough to get the Sharks a win, but to start off a game like that, to see it right from the get-go, I don't know. I thought it was one of those moments where it was like, all right, you know, good job, Timo. Way to stand up and, you know, do something here in the opening moments of this game. You know, there was obviously something that he didn't like, and we'll go into that in the next little bit, and it quickly escalated. So that was a fun moment. Like, not, you knew going into last night's game there were probably not going to be too many fun moments, but that was one where you did feel a bit good, and you thought to yourself, okay, this is all right. This is all right. Okay, we're going to take a break. On the other side, we are going to get into some post-game reaction. You're on Morning Tide.
That to-do list you have needs one more thing. Chill. It's an easy thing to do. Just crack open an ice-cold Coors Light and chill. Take the afternoon off and binge-watch anything. Go to happy hour and stay for a couple hours. Who's counting anyways? Or hang out with just your dog because you've had enough human interaction this week. Whatever you do, do it with a Coors Light. Mountain Cold Refreshment made to chill. 2020 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Celebrate responsibly.
Shoots. He scores!
Don't miss the 2023 Sharks Legends game on February 24th at Tech CU Arena, celebrating the legacy of Patrick Marleau.
He scores! Patrick Marleau in his 100th career playoff!
This is your chance to see some of your favorite Sharks players from the past hit the ice again as they pay tribute to Marleau's legendary career. Alumni scheduled to attend along with Marleau include Owen Nolan, Mike Ricci, Ryan Clough, Joel Ward, Evgeny Nabokov, and many more. Sharks 365 and Barracuda Battery members will enjoy an exclusive pre-sale that begins January 18th. Keep an eye on your inbox for details. Tickets for the general public go on sale at 10 a.m. January 20th at Ticketmaster.
Backhand shot, he scores! Patrick Marleau has done it again!
Let's do it again as the Sharks celebrate the legacy of Patrick Marleau. The 2023 Sharks Legends Game, February 24th at Tech CU Arena.
Welcome back to Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light.
Off the faceoff, Bruins still up 1-0 in this contest. 4-on-4 for minute 39. Here's McAvoy, the aforementioned, making a great move, cutting in, a great move, and he scores! Whoa! Charlie McAvoy stick-handled around the defensive player, and then he made an unbelievable deke to get it past Reimer. It's 2-0 Boston, and that was a play for the ages for Charlie McAvoy of the Bruins as he comes up with goal number 4 on the season.
No, I was, you know, maybe, you know, I was too puck-focused, got a piece of the puck, but, you know, bounced off his skate, gets right back on his blade. I should have played the body. You know, it's a mistake that cost us a goal.
Timo Meier bringing us back in on a Monday morning. Hope everybody had a nice weekend. Yeah, that was tough to watch the Bruins score some pretty impressive goals, especially in the fact that the Sharks, on a couple of them, seemed to know exactly what mistake they made exactly after the fact. And, you know, that gets frustrating, right? It's like, you know exactly what you did wrong. And the Bruins are the kind of team that do things that where they go out there and they do it, they draw you into mistakes, and you know exactly what the issue was. You're just not at a point at which you can stop the Bruins. And sometimes it's going for the puck as opposed to the body. Sometimes it's a great move. We saw it all last night. The Bruins, they're an impressive hockey team.
Yeah, they roll four lines. They're physical. They hold on to pucks. And, you know, they break out well. So, you know, kind of all the things we don't do well. So, you know, you can tell they're a playoff team and we're not. So, you know, it should be a lesson.
And that's a dose of reality from Timo Meier. It should be a lesson. That's the lesson that Mike Greer and David Quinn want this team to learn, to mold themselves or at least take heavy inspiration or influence from what Boston does. Again, listen to Timo describe this team.
Yeah, they roll four lines. They're physical. They hold on to pucks. And, you know, they break out well. So, you know, kind of all the things we don't do well. So, you know, you can tell they're a playoff team and we're not. So, you know, it should be a lesson.
They do all the things well that we don't do well. I mean, it's not like he's throwing his team under the bus. He's just giving the very obvious example of the difference between a team like Boston and a team like the Sharks. And he's very aware of their deficiencies. And I'm sure that the Sharks front office is also very aware of their deficiencies. But it shows you the difference between one team and another and where the development cycle is and where just everything is with two teams. The Sharks are not in a good place right now, and that's because they were at a good place for so very, very long. But the Bruins last night, in almost methodic or machine-like fashion, just seemed to expose the Sharks' problems left and right. You know, the Sharks couldn't get much going on the power play. The Sharks could not get much going anywhere. They were seemingly having trouble getting shots off. Like, it was just very much a handling. Like, they weren't just blown out. They weren't eviscerated or anything like that. It wasn't a particularly painful loss. It was just like every single thing that the Sharks presented, the Bruins had an immediate answer for. And that, over the course of 60 minutes of hockey, added up to a 4-0 loss. And I believe, off the top of my head, that is the first time the Sharks have gotten shut out this year. And yeah, quick check shows that they have not yet been shut out this year, so I was right. And the Sharks have actually shut out a couple other teams, so that's a good ratio to have. You'd rather have more shutouts than more times in which you've been shut out. But again, like, they were just methodically handled last night. Like, when all was said and done, the Bruins were better at every turn. The Bruins had all the answers. The Bruins had all the advantages. If you looked at every individual team aspect out there on the ice last night, the Bruins were better. They outshot the Sharks 22-18. They went on the power play 4 times versus the Sharks 2. They actually didn't win the faceoff battle. The Sharks did. But if you only win one of the major statistical categories, you are not going to have a good result when all is said and done at the end of the night.
Yeah, they're a pretty complete team, you know, from goaltending to the forwards. Like I said, they were all 4 lines that play all, you know, fast pace and the physical strong game. So, yeah, that's a tough team to play against, and we saw it tonight.
And I think Meyer was getting a little bit frustrated at that point of talking about how good the Bruins were, because I'm sure that he knows exactly what the Bruins do is exactly what his Sharks are not right now. And he wants to be the team that people are talking about. He wants to be on the winning side of things. It is a level of frustration. And Timo's usually a pretty cool customer. You know, like, he doesn't get too high. He doesn't get too low. But when he was giving his answers last night, if you watch the video on the Sharks website, you can tell, I think, that he was getting just a little bit annoyed talking about how good the Bruins were. And listen, I get it. Nobody wants to talk about another team that much. They want to talk about themselves, and they are always upset after these losses. And, you know, Timo Meier came into the Sharks, and it was a great situation, and they were winning games all the time. And then it's been a steady downhill roll as he has gotten better and better and better. I mean, Timo's on pace to have the best year of his career, and since his slow start to the season, things have really, really gone in the right direction. The problem is that's only on a personal level. Like, the team is not good, decidedly not good, and that's why he's at the center of these trade talks. So, you know, I'm sure he would rather be part of a situation with the Sharks and where he was not being talked about, in which he was helping them win, but right now, he by himself is not enough, although he does consistently agree that the effort the Sharks put out there is good.
No, I think effort, over the course of the season, I thought, you know, our effort has always been there, but, you need to, in this league, you need more than effort. Sometimes you need execution, you know, play smart and play within our system. And, there's a lot of things you got to clean up. And if you want to beat a team like that, you got to play. Everybody's got to play up to their full potential to have success against a team like that.
The Sharks had their opportunities on the power play last night, but they couldn't get anything going. David Quinn thought that was indicative of where his team was throughout the game.
Yeah, I thought in general we didn't have a lot of energy. You know, I didn't think we just didn't have a lot of energy. And when your power play is that inept, all 5 guys really weren't, there wasn't a lot going on the power play. And it just, I think it was a little bit of a reflection of our night.
Yeah, the Sharks did not have a lot of spark last night, but I think that is to be relatively expected on the second night of a back-to-back when you're on the East Coast and you're going up against the best team in the NHL. The Bruins don't exactly give you much of a chance to ignite that spark and let anything come from it, and again, that is a testament to just how good they are. Now, there are some other storylines going on with the Sharks right now that I will reference pretty quickly. One of them is Kevin LeBanc. And David Quinn did not really want to get into this last night. He was asked, you know, why aren't you starting Kevin LeBanc a night after he was off, and it's the second night of a back-to-back. And he's just not really willing to get into it right now. Like, some people can say maybe they're trading him and they don't want to get him hurt. And, that always happens, but that usually doesn't happen until the moment it's about to happen. And this all started after there was some, discouraging play from LeBanc. But I am curious when he does get back into the lineup, because he does good things and he does bad things. And it's interesting that, this is now extended out as far as it has, and that he doesn't want to talk about it that much. So I'm just relatively curious to see where it goes, because there are things that I like in LeBanc's game and there are things that I don't like in LeBanc's game. Obviously, both of those are, things we need to take into consideration, but at the very least, it will be interesting to see where this relationship goes. And times continue to be tough for the San Jose Sharks after yesterday, and tomorrow it's going to be at Detroit. And Detroit, they've got about 10 points more on the season than the Sharks do. They're not world beaters, but that's going to be another tough game for the Sharks. Then they're going to be at Carolina. Then they're going to be at Pittsburgh before they do get a little bit of a break. Then they won't be back at it until the 7th of February, in which they are at Tampa, at Florida, and at Washington before they're back home on Valentine's Day, taking on the Pens. And then it's going to be at Vegas on the 16th. Home versus Buffalo, home versus Seattle, home versus Nashville, home versus Chicago, and home versus Montreal to end the month of February. And then it's home versus St. Louis and home versus Washington before they go out onto the road again. This is a tough stretch for the team. It coincides with the All-Star break, obviously, but they're not going to be at home again until the 14th of February. Like I said, there's also going to be a lot of trade chatter, and things are going to be different. Things could very well be different by the next time the Sharks are home, or they might not be, but right now they are going to learn a lot about themselves and their teammates and what it takes to go up against, a lot of good teams in the NHL. I mean, you look at this stretch. Again, there are a lot of good teams that they are going to be facing when you're going up against, the Carolinas of the world. And they just saw Boston. And again, things don't get any easier, as they're going to have to see Tampa, and they are going to have to see the Capitals. Florida's in there as well. But I've continually thought about it all year, is that when you're going up against the upper echelon teams in the NHL, whether it be on the West Coast or whether it be on the East Coast, that is where you have to measure yourself. Like, no one's going to make it any easier on you. You can't just expect to do the same thing going forward in the future. So as you measure yourself against the best, the team needs to make the necessary changes for the future so that they can compete and or beat the upper echelon teams and be one of those upper echelon teams. And again, that means there is going to be losing in the future. That means there are probably going to be more, not demoralizing losses, but just losses like last night, where the other team is that much better and that much more complete, and it shows every single time they go up and down the ice. Again, Washington, Tampa, Florida, those three teams to face as you come out of the break are going to probably be some pain, but maybe the Sharks will surprise. That's always what I'd like to see, but again, this year's Sharks are as much about the Sharks in 2025 as they are about the Sharks in 2023. And I know people don't like to hear those things, but it's part of what the time frame that is happening right now. And honestly, this year has gone better in some ways than I thought it was going to go, especially after that 0-5 start. I thought to myself, uh-oh, this could get ugly in a real hurry. But the Sharks have mostly, except for a couple of games, have mostly done pretty well to be competitive and be in games and push the opposition. And again, they made Boston work hard last night, but it makes me feel at the same time like, A, they're not that far off, but also B, when you compare them against the best of the best, it's still not even close. And again, no disrespect to any of the players out there on the ice. I respect their efforts. I respect their grind. I think they are putting forth solid performances most nights. But again, those solid performances continually turn out to be not enough. And that's why you've got to look at last night's game against the Bruins and say, what does this tell us about the team? What does this tell us about the construct of our talent? What does this tell us about who's out there on the ice and who's not out there on the ice? What does this tell us about what they need to build for the future? And again, easier from my point of view than the point of view of Mike Greer, but it is something that obviously we pay attention to. We, look at everything that goes down, and we view it and what it means for the future of the San Jose Sharks. And I know that's always, a little bit of a strange, non-linear way to look at things, but that is the reality that is the San Jose Sharks right now, bested by the Bruins, but also getting a good look at what they want to be. All right, we are out of time. Be sure to join us tomorrow afternoon as we get you ready for the game against Detroit. We'll have the build-up coming at you at 1:10 and also at 1 o'clock Teal Report, and then live pregame coverage at 3:30 as the Sharks take on the Red Wings. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey, signing off.
You've been listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light on the Sharks Audio Network.